our binaries.
Thank you very much. Okay. Good morning. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for giving me this opportunity to present our latest numerical simulations work.
Is the microphone on?
Pardon?
It's on.
It's unstable. Is it okay? Okay, yeah. Let me start with the introduction about why binary neutron star and black hole neutron star binaries are important. Probably almost everyone here knows well, but let me remind you the points. I think that there are at least four motivations for studying this system. One is that these promising sources are gravitational waves, and these are also invaluable laboratory for studying high-density nuclear matter. And also they are promising candidate for short-half gamma ray bursts, and also they are sources of strong electromagnetic emission. And what I'd like to emphasize here is that numerical relativity plays a crucial role for studying for all topics. And in this talk, I would like to focus only on first and second topics of gravitational waveform, and they are a laboratory for studying high-density nuclear matter. Okay, so in the following, I'll talk about the binary neutron stars and the black hole neutron stars separately. And first, I focus on the binary neutron stars. Let me remind you that how binary neutron star evolved. Binary neutron star evolved due to the gravitational radiation reaction, and eventually merged. And in the early spiral phase, in which orbital separation is much larger than the Schwarzschild radius, system evolves adiabatically. Adiabatically means that each neutron star may be regarded as a point particle, and also radiation reaction time scale, TGW, is much, much longer than the orbital period. But at about 45 kilometers of separation, this time scale becomes comparable. And from here, dynamical evolution occurs. And after this phase, merger soon happens. And the merger sets in at about gravitational wave frequency is about 1 kilohertz. And the interesting point is that there are two possibilities for this final phase. One is that the black hole is soon formed. It happens if the equation state is soft or total mass is very large. And the other possibility is that the hypermassive neutron star is formed, at least temporarily. So very much rapidly rotating neutron star is formed. This happens if equation of state is stiff, or mass of two neutron stars is not very large. Anyway, so final phase depends on the equation of state strongly. But our recent discovery of a two solar mass neutron star, this one, constrains the equation of state fairly strongly. So this each line shows the mass radius relation for many different equation of state. And this discovery constrains the equation of state. I mean that, for example, this type of MS1 and FSE and something like this cannot be used for modeling a neutron star because the two solar mass neutron star cannot be explained by this equation of state. So this means that anyway, so equation of state should be stiff. Although there are many, too many candidates. There are many candidates. Equation state, stiff equation state, but some equation state are rejected by this discovery. So this is a very important meaning for studying binary neutron stars. So let me show you some example. So for studying the binary neutron star, we have to employ the stiff equation state. And if we employ stiff equation state, final fate is a constraint. So I'll show you one example. In this example, I employ the Schenz equation state, very famous equation state, in which maximum mass of spherical star is 2.2 solar mass. For the case of the temperature, if temperature is higher, so maximum mass is larger. But anyway, so it's very stiff. So it's okay to explain the two-solar mass Newton star. And so in this example, so in the following example, I choose each Newton star mass 1.5 solar mass.
Excuse me, this yeah. is gravitational mass or baryon
mass? This is gravitational mass.
You'll always talk about
always gravitational mass in this talk, yeah. Okay, so this is animation for simulation. This shows the density in the equatorial plane. This is the neutron luminosity, and this is the temperature. Anyway, so due to the radiation reaction, each binary separation decreases, and finally merge, and then temperature quickly increases to 20 or 30 MeV, and the neutron luminosity also increases quickly. And in this case, black hole is not promptly formed, but it's a so-called hypermassive neutron star is formed. This is due to the fact that the equation of state is stiff, and also shock heating temperatures. As a result of shock heating, temperature increases significantly. As a result, thermal pressure increases. Anyway, so in this case, long-lived hypermassive neutron star is formed. Such a hypermassive neutron star will be will collapse the black hole eventually due to the loss of the angular momentum or due to the loss of thermal pressure by neutron heating, like a supernova. But at least temporarily, hypermassive neutron star is formed for this case. So long-lived hypermassive neutron star is formed. So latest discovery of the solar mass neutron star suggests that the typical final fate is case two, so hypermassive neutron star, long-lived hypermassive neutron star is formed for canonical mass of a binary neutron star. And the typical gravitational waves in the formation of hypermassive neutron star is like this. So this is a 1.35 case, and this is a 1.5 case. For this case, a hypermassive neutron star is formed. This is a gravitational waves as a function of the retarded time, and this is the so-called chirp signal, and this parts gravitational waves from hypermassive neutron star. Anyway, so after the inspire, after chirp signal, quasi-periodic oscillations, quasi-periodic gravitational waves are emitted due to the rapid rotation of the hypermassive neutron star. And this type of the gravitational wave will be typical for canonical mass of neutron star. Of course, if the mass of neutron star is high enough, a black hole is formed eventually. So this is a case that the black hole is finally formed. This is gravitational waves from hypermassive neutron star, and this is the so-called ring down gravitational waves after formation of black hole. But for typical neutron star mass, say 1.4 solar mass, hypermassive neutron, long-lived hypermassive neutron star will be formed. Okay, so in the following, so I'll talk about the detail of the gravitational wave for this case. And for this type of gravitational wave, there are two interesting phases. One is that the last inspiral phases, and the other is the hypermassive neutron star phases. For last inspiral phase, what is interesting? What is interesting is that the effect of tidal deformation become important in this phase. So I mean that in the early inspiral phase, we may use a point particle approximation, and we may neglect the tidal effect of a binary neutron star. So this means that gravitational waves were reproduced by a post-Newtonian calculation. But in the last couple of orbits, tidal effect of a binary neutron star become important, and we have to take into account the tidal deformation effect to reproduce this gravitational waveform. And this means that if we, and the tidal degree of tidal deformation depends on the equation of state. If equation of state is a rather stiff and the neutron star radius is very large, tidal deformation effect is larger. And so this means that if we can detect this gravitational wave, equation of state may be constrained. And anyway, so frequency of this phase is about 500 Hz and kilohertz. And Second interesting phase is the hypermassive neutron star phase. In this case, as I said in the previous slide, gravitational waves, quasi-periodic gravitational waves are emitted. And typical frequency is between 2 and 4 kilohertz. And also, this frequency depends strongly on the equation of state of neutron star. So this means that if we could detect the gravitational wave from this phase, so we may constrain the equation of state. Anyway, so these two parts are very important for constraining the equation of state of neutron star. OK, so in the following, so I will discuss the detail of this. So before showing, before discussing the detail, I would like to briefly summarize the current status of numerical relativity for people outside this field. Anyway, so numerical relativity is a field in which Einstein's equations are solved numerically in computer. But in the presence of matter, we have to solve the additional equations. We have to solve the hydrodynamics or magnetohydrodynamics equations, incorporating the realistic equation state, plausible equation state for nuclear matter. And probably we have to take into account the evolution of magnetic field. So we have to solve the Maxwell's equation. And we have to take into account the neutron emission and the neutron heating and so on and so on. If we are interested in the R process, so we have to also incorporate some another accessories. Anyway, so this is a numerical relativity in the presence of matter. And this is a current status in the community. So I think that the community have done so great things. And now so we can do many things. So for example, we can solve the Einstein's equation accurately, and we can solve the hydrodynamics equations incorporating a physical tabulated equation of state can be solved. And also, we can solve the magnetohydrodynamics equation in GR. And also, now so we can take into account neutron physics to some extent. So for example, we can take into account the neutron cooling. And so we can solve the approximately solve the radiation transfer. But anyway, so I think that this is a final frontier of numerical relativity. So the goal is to solve the Boltzmann equation, but it's very, very tough problem, but it's still in progress. But anyway, so at least semi-quantitative manner, so quantitative level, so many physical simulations are possible in this community. But we have one subtlety. So neutron star equation state is still unknown. So this is the plot of P as a function of rho, pressure as a function of rho. Each plot shows a different equation state. And there are many, many equation states candidate. And we don't know we don't know which is the correct one. So this means that we have to employ many equation states. And so many systematic simulations are necessary. So we can model, so we can prepare a wide variety of models of binary neutron star merger, and then we can compare the observation like gravitational waves. Anyway, so we have to solve the, we have to perform many simulations. So we are performing many simulations, but in this talk, I will talk about the four equation state for these four equation state. This is a pressure as a function of density, and this is a gravitational mass as a function of radius. So I choose these four in this talk as a typical one. So for four equation state, typical radius is different. For example, for APR4 is Akmal-Pandari-Pandari-Ravenfold equation state. In this case, radius is about 11 kilometer. On the other hand, for this very stiff equation state, typical radius is about 14 or 15 kilometer. And anyway, so stiffness is different and radius is different. So we choose these equations as samples. Okay, so now from now, so I'll talk about the detail of gravitational wave. First, I like to talk about the gravitational wave from a rate in spiral of binary neutron stars. This talk is based on the work by Hotokezaka. He is a graduate student in Kyoto University. Okay, so Let me recall you the what is the tidal effect in binary in spiral. Anyway, so neutron star is composed of a fluid. So this means that in the cross orbit, tidal deformation becomes significant, like this. So in far distant orbit, each neutron star is almost spherical, but in the cross orbit, deformation occurs like this. Then, so gravitation potential change schematically like this. This is a Newtonian potential. And in the presence of a tidal deformation, quadrupole moment is induced. And as a result, this type of potential appears. This is an attractive force, but the dependence of orbital separation is very steeper. So this means that in the far orbit, this is negligible, but in the cross orbit, it could be important. And but anyway, so this is from the point of view of the post-Newtonian approximation, this is a 5 PN correction. So it seems to be very small, but the coefficient is very large. So this C is something like that, this. M is a mass, and R is a, large R is a radius of a neutron star, with R is about 5 to 8 M. So this means that if R is, for example, two times of a stellar radius, this term is almost as large as this one. So as a result, tidal effect become important. Okay, so anyway, so gravitation waveform, so in spiral gravitation waveform, in the absence of the tidal effect is written by M1 and M2. But in the presence of a tidal effect, we have an additional parameter, C1 and C2. C has a dimension of this. Research for this effect has been very active in a couple of years, in particular by Damoa and Naga and their collaborators. And they developed the effective one-body equation motion for two-body system, including the tidal effect. In the treatment, they incorporated the tidal effect using the so-called static tidal approximation. In this approximation, tidal deformation degree is determined in the assumption that binaries in waves from hypermassive neutron star depend strongly on the equation of stiffness. And also, what is interesting is that frequency is almost constant, not exactly constant, almost constant. And so this means that in the Fourier space, we may have a peak. But anyway, so this is a summary of the property of a gravitational wave from hypermassive neutron star. Gravitational wave frequency from hypermassive neutron star depends strongly on the equation state, and the frequency has a correlation with the stiffness. So as shown here, so this change very steeply. So this is a Fourier spectrum. This is a result for a softer equation state with a small neutron star radius. This is a result for a most stiff equation state with a large neutron star radius. And you see that the frequency change very steeply with the change of the stiffness of equation state. And also you can see that we have a peak like this. But it's not exactly periodic gravitational wave, but a quasi-periodic gravitational wave. As a result, the peak is not very clear. And we have some error of 0.1 kilohertz. So anyway, so this is probably this will be a systematic error for determining the gravitational wave frequency. And this is a peak frequency as a function of the neutron star radius over 1.35 solar mass. This relation is originally found by Young and his student. And then anyway, so we can reproduce the result. But the claim is slightly different. They claim very strongly that peak is very clear and radius is very clearly determined. But as I showed in this figure, a peak is not very clear. For example, in this case, so we don't know which is a peak. So anyway, we have some error. But the error is not very large, at most 0.1 kilohertz. So this means that if we can determine peak frequency of gravitational waves, we can constrain the equation of state of neutron star, radius of neutron star within the radius of about 1 kilometer. Okay, this is a summary and issue for hypermassive neutron star gravitational waves. Anyway, so most serious issue is that theoretically we found that this relation, but signal to noise ratio around here is not very high. So this black dot is a noise level of the adversarial life with optimization. So the signal to noise ratio is at most 1 or 2 or something like that. So it's not clear that whether such a peak is determined accurately or not. So this is this point should be clarified in the future. Okay, so finally, so I'd like to talk about the gravitational waves from black hole neutron star binary. Also in this case, there are two possibilities. So in this case, binary evolve as a result of gravitational waves and then merge. But there are two possibilities. One is that neutron star is swallowed by black hole simply. And the other is neutron star is disrupted. And case one occurs if neutron star radius is small. So I mean that if equation of state is soft, or black hole mass is much larger than the neutron star mass, or black hole spin is not very large. In the other case, neutron star is tidally disrupted, and from the point of view of investigating the neutron star equation of state, this case is very, very interesting. Okay, so let me show you a condition for tidal disruption. Tidal disruption of neutron star occurs if tidal force is larger than the neutron star self-gravity at cross orbit. And this condition can be written approximately like this. Here, Q is a mass ratio. And theta is a dependence of the spin of black hole. If spin is zero, theta is one. But if spin is unity, theta become large. And alpha is the deformability of neutron star at the tidal disruption. So here R is a neutron star radius, and alpha R is a semi-major axis length at the tidal disruption. And this is the so-called compactness parameter of neutron stars. And this condition shows that tidal disruption occurs if mass ratio is small, low mass black hole, and also radius of neutron star is large, and if spin of black hole is large, if theta is close to 6, so this condition is satisfied for probably most of the binary neutron star black hole. Anyway, so for this case, tidal disruption could happen. Okay, so let me show you that how tidal disruption happens. For this case, we assume the black hole spin is zero. And in this case, mass ratio is Q. Not very realistic, but in this case, tidal disruption occurs. And this is the case for Q equals 3. In this case, tidal disruption doesn't occur. Anyway, so in this case, tidal disruption occurs, and a disk is formed like this. But in this case, almost all matter is swallowed into the black hole. So as I said in the previous view graph, if Q equals small, tidal disruption is more subject. And what is interesting in gravitational wave is in the final phase. So this is the case tidal disruption occurs, and this is the case tidal disruption only weakly occurs. In this case, so this red curve is a numerical result, and this green curve is analytical modeling from the post-Newtonian calculation. And in this case, from here, almost in spiraling waveform is seen. But around here, tidal disruption occurs. And suddenly, in spiraling, amplitude shut down, and the amplitude almost becomes zero. So this means that we have a highest frequency, which is determined by the tidal disruption event. On the other hand, in this case, you can see the so-called ring-down gravitational waveform. This is due to the fact that the neutron star is simply swallowed by black hole, and the black hole is oscillate, and this waveform is excited. So what is important is that as follows. So gravitational wave frequency reflects the equation of state in tidal disruption event. So the reason is as follows. And so this is a case that the radius of neutron star is fairly large. In this case, tidal disruption occur at a distant orbit. A distant orbit means that the frequency is lower. On the other hand, if the radius is smaller, tidal disruption occurs in the cross orbit. A cross orbit means that the frequency is higher. This is well reflected in the Fourier spectrum of the gravitational waves. This is the spectral amplitude of gravitational waves as a function of the frequency. Frequency is here, frequency. And this is the amplitude for the hypothetical distance of the 100 megaparsec. And so each curve shows a Fourier spectrum. And this curve shifted for a lower side. So each curve, like this, shows a Fourier spectrum. And this cutoff frequency is determined by the tidal disruption event. So this, so tidal disruption occurs around here. So you consider here for this case. And for a larger radius of neutron star, tidal disruption occurs in a cross orbit. For this case, frequency is about a kilohertz. But with the decrease of the radius of neutron star, this cutoff frequency shift higher frequency side like this. So this shows that the cutoff frequency and the radius of neutron star is well reflected in the Fourier spectrum. But unfortunately, for the zero spin case, amplitude at the cutoff frequency is fairly small. This is a standard Lyapunov curve. This is a optimized Lyapunov curve. And anyway, so by using the optimized curve, so it's very difficult to determine the cutoff frequency. But this situation changed significantly in the presence of the spin. In this case, this is a Q equal 4 with a high spin. In the absence of a spin, so in this case, nothing happened. Tidal disruption doesn't happen. And in this case, Q equal 2, but the counter-rotating spin. In this case, if spin 0, tidal disruption occurs. But in this case, tidal disruption does not occur due to the counter-rotating spin. But on the other hand, in this case, even if Q equal large, tidal disruption occurs and the disk is formed due to the high value of spin. So spin is very important. And the other important effect of spin is that with the increase of spin, spectrum changes a good side. So this is a result for spectrum with the same equation set up, with the same mass, with the same mass ratio, but with different spin. And with the increase of spin, cutoff frequency shift to the lower frequency side. And also amplitude of a Fourier spectrum increase with increase of spin. So this is a case, a mass ratio is 4 and with a high spin, 0.75. In this case, cutoff frequency found like this. So for several equation of state. But you see that cutoff frequency, amplitude at the cutoff frequency is higher than the noise level of the optimized Lyapunov detector. So this suggests that such a spectrum may be observed by optimized gravitational wave detector. And probably detail around here will be described in Ben Lucky's PhD thesis. Okay, so let me summarize my talk. I talked about three type of gravitational waves. First, I talked about the rotating spiral waveform of binary neutron star, which reflects the equation of state through the tidal deformation effect. And we found that the effective boundary approach is likely to work well. And the second, I talked about the gravitational waves from a hypermassive neutron star, which also reflects the gravitation equation state of a neutron star strongly. And if we can detect the gravitational wave from a hypermassive neutron star, radius of a neutron star will be constrained within 1 kilometer error. And finally, I talked about the gravitational wave at tidal disruption of the black hole neutron star binary and the cutoff frequency, which is determined by the tidal disruption event, will be used to constrain the equation state, even by advanced lag. So not advanced lag, so optimized type of advanced lag. OK, thank you very much.
Given that most of the information you're getting about the tidal deformability of the neutron star radius does come in the last couple of orbits, how much does the dephasing from the EOB analytic projection potentially compromise the precision with which you can measure the tidal deformability?
So you're asking the very quantitative aspects.
Yeah, I'm sure it's tough to say at the moment, but do you have a sense for this? Is it the sort of thing where you will already have obtained enough information before the last one or two orbits that the de Moore et al. Figure you showed is going to be roughly accurate, or is it likely to make a large difference and have much larger errors that you would obtain?
We haven't performed any detailed analysis, but they claim that probably so. Last couple of orbits will be enough to constrain the equation state significantly if the signal to noise ratio is very high, like 16. But we haven't performed detailed analysis using our numerical data, so I'm sorry.
Is it possible to estimate for different equations of state what fraction of neutron star black hole binaries have the neutron star tidally disrupted, and is it possible to infer things about how many GRBs are produced by NSBH binaries?
So yes, so we need the information of the population synthesis or something like that for answering this question. So I cannot answer. So I can make some phase diagram so that for which mass ratio and for which radius and for which spin tidal disruption occur. But what we can do is only this. So to answer your question, so we need some initial mass function of the and initial spin function of the black hole neutron star binary. So but we don't know. So population synthesis study is necessary for answering this question.
So you mentioned that the tidal effects are more important for stiff equation of states where the neutron star is bigger. So I understand that bigger neutron stars produce larger tidal effects, but they also don't allow the neutron stars to get close to each other. So if you go to the equation you just wrote there with the potential and the correction to the potential, if you substitute the moment that the two neutron stars are just touching each other, you'll get that the ratio between the two terms is always the same, regardless of the size of the neutron star. So I'm not sure if the tidal effects are more important for stiff equation of state because the neutron star is larger or because it is less centrally concentrated. I think it's the...
My saying is not very good. So it's related to the gravitational wave detector. So gravitational wave detector will have a sensitivity around 100, most good sensitivity around 100 Hz. And for larger radius of neutron star, tidal disruption occurs for smaller frequency. But for example, for 10 kilometer neutron star, tidal deformation will occur around the kilohertz frequency. So for larger neutron stars, tidal deformation is more easily observed by gravitational wave detector. So what I mean is like this here.
How sensitive are any of these results to the spins of the neutron stars?
Oh, so I believe that the spin of neutrons is very small. So because there are several facts. For example, a binary merger occurs in 100 mega-year or something like that, more than 100 mega-year or something like that. So this is long enough to spin down the pulsar. So this means that the spin will be very small. If we assume that
you take non-spinning?
Non-spinning. So because we believe that the spin is very small in the major binary Newton star.
Okay, so even if this had a dimensionless spin parameter of 0.01 or something, do you think it wouldn't affect anything?
At most, yeah, probably.
But it wouldn't affect any of these results?
So if we include the spin?
Yeah.
So yeah, probably no.
So you showed that you can reabsorb the effects of numerical of the resolution by renormalizing the mass, basically, of the system. Is there a physical interpretation for that? I mean, it suggests that there are only two scales, basically, in the problem, one related to dissipation and the other one to mass. Or is it more like an empirical fact? I mean, can you understand it physically, this fact that all the waveform, all the frequency evolutions superimpose when you...
No, it's simply the numerical effect.
No, I understand, but it shouldn't be like that, right? There are other scales in play. There's not just a mass like in black hole binaries.
In black hole binaries, no scale, so it's okay. But in neutron star binary, so such scaling relation may change if you change the mass. So I mean that the dissipation effect depends on the equation of state and the mass and so on. So probably.
I didn't expect it to work, basically, because there are other scales. There's a physical dissipation, there's a compactness.
It's a numerical dissipation time scale.
Yeah, but there's an evolution.
I have a question.
Otherwise, the numerical simulation is not reliable. So, yeah.
Okay, I have a question related to the gravitational wave emission from a hypermassive neutron star.
Yeah.
So you already showed that it's a bit more difficult to determine the peak with respect to what was shown in Newtonian simulation.
Yeah.
And I also wonder what happens when you have an hypermassive neutron star that survives for a very long time, like more than 100 milliseconds, even 1 second, and there you can have effects like neutrino cooling and also maybe effects from the magnetic field. Will that make it more difficult to determine this peak?
Probably. Yeah. I don't know. So anyway, so we need more simulations. Yeah. But what my feeling is that in these simulations we employ a fairly simple equation of state, piecewise polytropic equation of state with some shock heating effect. But in the presence of if we use the tabulated more physical equation of state, heating effect is more significant. Then so the lifetime of the hypermassive neutron star increases. In this case, lifetime of the hypermassive neutron star is at most 100 milliseconds or something like that. But in the if we use the tabulated finite temperature equation of state, lifetime becomes 1 second or something like that due to the shock heating effect is more stronger and shock. Yeah. So probably so conclusion may change if we change the equation of state or if we include more physics in the simulation.
So the thing with the dephasing and the mass, so I think the most likely explanation is that the leading order with the dephasing is just as more or less a roughly constant time shift between the different resolutions. And so you could have also an additive term which just says plus delta T, and that explains the dephasing. That's my guess. But I have a question also. So for this convergence test, you had this power of 1.8. In the convergence test, so
this one.
I think the power wasn't right. So do you think this is you get this power because you're not yet in the convergent regime, or is it because you have a mixing of different finite difference orders in the code?
So difference between finite.
Right, so why do you think you get 1.8? Is it because
you're not yet
in the convergent regime, or is it because you have a mixing of different finite difference orders?
So mixing with the finite difference, simple finite difference with the effect of atmosphere. So in the hydrodynamics equation is the so-called shock capturing scheme. We have to put artificial atmosphere. It's necessary, otherwise cold crash. So such effect will modify this power. So I think so. But anyway, so in this work, so we change this value between 1.7 and 1.9, something like that. But the conclusion doesn't change. So we checked here.
Okay.
This value does not significantly affect the numerical result.
So you showed a few cases of the dependence of in the hypermassive black hole, hypermassive neutron star frequency, dependence on mass, on equation of state, and on spin. And those were a few cases, and I know that it's probably a lot of work to generate each of those cases. Actually, more than also, in addition to the frequency, it would also be nice to have some measure of the decay constant or Q, whatever it is, to quantify it. But with more cases, I imagine one you could generate a table and a parameterized formula for how the frequency and decay time depends on these.
We are just doing so.
We are looking for.
We are performing that.
That'll be very useful for simple modeling.
I agree completely. Yeah. But we need many simulations, so it's very time consuming.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
It might be pretty naive though. Do you guys expect every neutron star to have the same equation of state? Every neutron star to have the same equation of state?
Same equation of state?
Yeah. Physically, that's just what we expect. Luis is saying yes. But
you could have some that have somehow you have quarks formed in some neutron star and not in another. So you could. Well, it can depend on how
prejudice.
It got created, yeah.
I don't have any prejudice. Gravitational wave detection would be done.
Anyone else have a question? All right, let's thank Mr. again.